Welcome to the Daily Creed, where we help you break your limited beliefs that are holding you back from being a personal and professional success. When you master the five character traits of commitment, resilience, excellence, execution, and discipline, you will have the power to dominate your industry and live the life you desire. And now, helping you to grow in every aspect of your life, your host, J.R. Spear.
Today we have a very special guest with Tanner Chittister, and he is the founder and CEO of Elite CEOs. And Tanner Chittister has generated over $70 million in the online coaching world, most of which has come within the past 4 years after discovering powerful, repeatable strategies, which he used to create his first million in a B2C model. And Tanner's success went on to disrupt the coaching industry forever, and upon request, he began business coaching others on these same strategies and paving the way for simplicity in a traditionally complex online arena. Tanner's business has organically evolved into the coaching empire that we know today, Elite CEOs. And with his team by his side, Tanner is now on a mission to impact as many online coaches as possible. So Tanner, thank you so much for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So what people don't really know, and I kind of mentioned to you before, is I've been following you for quite a bit of time over the years and watching your journey and seeing from like when you first got started in the online space with the personal trainers and online health coaches or what per se, to even helping just CEOs. And, you know, I even purchased one of your programs a while back and just kind of seeing what you got and test driving it, watching some of your organic stuff. And I definitely want to commend you that, you know, your follow-up process, whether it's automated or if it's you or whatever, it's pretty powerful because you're always there. And people notice when you're not there, which is something I mentioned to you right before the show. It's like, man, I seen you all the time and you're online and you're hitting my inbox and you're doing different stuff and then you're gone. And it's like, oh, wait, he's back. And there he is. Yeah. So this is a treat for me. And this is a treat for our audience and anyone that's able to hear you speak. So I just want to encourage anyone that's on here watching this live on Facebook, or if you're catching the podcast, you know, make sure you guys get some pen and paper because I'm going to be asking some really cool questions that definitely can impact your guys' business, but also help you guys have significant growth because he's helped probably thousands of people, you know, build their businesses, and especially in the online space. And if you haven't followed him, make sure you go do so because he's constantly posting testimonial after testimonial and it's very inspiring and motivating. So I appreciate everything that you do. You're an inspiration to me, and I'm sure everyone else that's watching this too.
Yeah, dude, that was very flattering. So thanks for the kind words. But yeah, I'm hopeful I can give some value here. So just hit me with whatever you got.
Absolutely. Well, one topic that I really wanted to focus on was how to leverage the conversion conversation strategy to turn strangers into clients with your organic messaging. And I would love for you to kind of start out saying, you know, can you explain what the core principle of what conversion conversation strategy is and how it differs from traditional marketing approaches?
Yeah, so when I was trying to scale my company, I was doing all these automated webinars and they just were not working. And I was 50K in the hole with different coaching programs and 20K in the hole on ads. And I was getting super flustered and frustrated because all the money I was making organically was basically getting burned.
Yeah.
And I was getting super frustrated to the point where I called up that fifth coach and I kind of was letting him have it. And he said, in short, he just said, hey, like I'll either, he's like, you can get a refund or you can stop crying and do the work. And I was like, F this guy, whatever. So anyways, what I did is I went back and I started messaging all the leads, and the leads had come through the DM. So this is right when ManyChat came out.
Yeah.
And I started messaging all the leads. And the second I did that, I made a 10X ROI on my ad spend. And I was like, oh shit, this is the moment. Right. This is like, I'm going to actually hit the goals I've set for myself. And so really all it is it's scaling something unscalable. A lot of people in business, especially online, right? People here online, they're like, it's remote, it's at home, I can sit on the couch, whatever. Like it's still a job, still work. And so what I did is instead of trying to beat everyone at their own game, like Russell Brunson and the kind of kings of marketing that have been doing it for 10, 20 years, I was like, you know, I don't care how good my BSL is. I don't care how good my opt-in page is. Like I'm simply just going to message each and every single lead. So that's what I started doing. And so the concept is basically just having one-to-one conversations with each and every lead. And so, yes, it's time consuming and it's hard to scale, but if you can do it, it makes a massive difference across the board because everyone else is, they're looking at everyone else. And really everyone else is doing similar things, right? They're calling, they're running VSLs, they're doing this, they're doing that. And so it really helped me kind of stand apart. And there's an organic way to do it, and there's an ad strategy to do it. Ads is a little bit more straightforward, but all in all, it's just basically having those one-to-one intimate conversations.
Are you doing that yourself, or do you usually delegate and have someone else like inside of your DMs, you know, qualifying them? Or what is your qualifying process?
Yeah. So, I mean, I obviously have access to the accounts, but I can't be in there the whole day. Like right now I can't be in there with you. So, you definitely have to build a team around the process. And so typically, you know, when I started the company, I was doing all of it. Then as it grew, I got setters or messengers to go in there. We call them messengers, same thing. And then what we do now is we just have rotations. So typically it'll be between, I'd say it's a 6-hour shift. So it'll be like 8 to 2, 2 to 8. And you'll have someone in there at all times. Then, you know, if someone's giving them the stink bug or saying, oh, it's not Tanner or whatever, they'll actually message me and I'll go in there and I'll actually say something personal, or I'll do a voice note to like, hey man, da da da, get them over the edge. But it's just realistically, like everyone knows you can't be in there 24/7. So typically we'll have one person who's like responding, one person who's starting messages. And that's kind of the process. And then over the years, we've done Facebook, Instagram, et cetera. It just kind of depends where you want to go.
I love that. And this kind of makes me think of a post that you did recently on your personal page. And you're talking about how like people just want the easy work, or they complain about not getting the work done. You said, just get off your ass and go do it or something like that. What stemmed from that post? Because it definitely resonated with me. Because I work with a lot of small business owners, but in reality is those that aren't succeeding is because they just don't want to get up and do the work. And so when you're talking about doing the hard work organically and be able to do it, what's stopping people from wanting to do it? But also, when does it come to that point where you say, hey, you know what, building that team that delegates so you can be able to do it? Because most people, they say, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to start a business, and they immediately just want to start delegating, and they don't never go through the process themselves.
Yeah. I mean, for most people, I just, they don't use their time wisely. That's something I've noticed recently. I mean, I had two conversations with clients. One client was doing 25K a month. She was, you know, crying, hey, I need to get to 100K. My parents are having medical problems, et cetera. And I just said, okay, let's go through your schedule. She starts telling me your schedule, and I'm going, so your ad spends like 6X ROI. You're spending your time doing what? And she's like, oh, I'm on coaching calls and this and that. I'm like, well, yeah, that makes no sense, because that's not how you make money. So all I did is I switched her schedule and said, you don't do anything besides do set calls and sales calls. And now she's doing 25K a week. And that was like a couple of weeks ago. And that's not to say like, oh my gosh, but it's crazy the amount of people who do that. I had another guy the other day. Oh, I'm doing content. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Okay, what do you do 2 to 8 before bed? I don't really know. Okay. You shouldn't be doing anything besides talking to leads and doing sales calls. Like that's really all it is. The problem is people don't want to do it because it's uncomfortable. And a lot of them also underestimate the amount of volume they have to do. So when I did door-to-door sales, I knocked on 100 doors, make 1 or 2 sales. All of a sudden when they're online, oh, I talked to 5 people, they didn't buy. I mean, yeah. You're going to talk to 100, maybe 30 will respond. You'll book 5 calls or close 1. That's the ratio. So they have these unrealistic expectations and they're not willing to do the work. You know, people go, well, how many people do you message a day? I'm like 100, 200, 100. It's 20 people an hour. Like you got to move. Yeah. You got to sit down. You got to work. So I just think a lot of people, they get this fantasy in their head of what it will be versus what it actually is. And there's no way around the work, and they're just trying to get around the work, right? They're trying to do anything they can think of by hiring or training or running ads or whatever to get around this work. And that's business, that's sales. You have to talk to customers, you have to demonstrate value, you have to spend time doing it. So
yeah, you said something that you the first person that you were talking about shifting her schedule from setting and sales. Like, what is the percentage that you recommend for people to spend on actually sales and actually doing the coaching calls of being in the business?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Navigating the business world can be daunting. Welcome to the Business Leaders Network, a community of like-minded entrepreneurs ready to share invaluable experience. As a BLN member, enjoy dynamic networking opportunities with high-level entrepreneurs, learn cutting-edge strategies from industry experts, and gain a platform to showcase your business. Get started today for only $37, which is less than your daily cup of coffee. Join a community that can transform your business. Visit www.blncommunity.com to get started. Your success is our mission at BLN. Let's navigate the business world together.
And now back to the show.
I mean, they should be doing as little coaching as possible. Now, when you start the business, obviously you have to do that, but scaling a company in the beginning doesn't even have anything to do with how good the product is. That doesn't mean you should have a bad product, but you can scale a company having a bad product. What scales a company is making more sales. And so you need to make the coaching the lowest priority, like, especially like I was a fitness coach. What do you have to do to lose weight? Stop eating, stop moving. Okay. So I text them once a day. I'd wait for everyone to text me back. So I'd wake up, I'd text all my clients. I'd have like 20 clients, I think was my max when I was by myself. I'd wait 3 or 4 hours. Everyone would text me back. I'd text everyone back again. A couple more would text me back, and that was it for the day. There's not a lot I need to do. Now, if you're a business consultant, you're going to cap out sooner, right? If you're helping someone their business, it's going to be a lot more time intensive. But all of your time needs to be pushing sales so you can make enough money to hire a team. And a lot of people, they get in this hiatus where they're 15K a month and they're just enough to make money and be full time, but they don't make enough to hire and train. And so they're constantly in this perpetual cycle of they don't make enough, but they can't scale and they can't hire and they don't know what to do. You just have to push your business to a point where you have enough income where you can make good money and you can hire people. And a lot of people just never get there.
Yeah. So when does it get to that point of where you can start hiring people?
Depends on the business, but I would say like typically it's like, you know, I don't know, 20, 30K a month, right? You hire a coach, get that completely offloaded, then maybe a setter, but you can scale to 100K in a high ticket business with maybe 2 setters and a coach. I mean, you don't need a lot. It's not that hard, especially if you're selling a 5K package. So it's only 20 clients a month, new clients. And if you have a good coach, maybe get another coach, but you can have a relatively small business and take home, you know, 50 G's, 60 G's doing that. You have ad spend, a couple employees, and that's it. It's just most people, they don't want to get there because it's hard and it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of grind. And a lot of people, you know, they just want this work-life balance the whole time. That's fine. But a lot of times when you're building companies, it's very unbalanced for a bit. You're doing a lot more work.
Yeah, no, that's really powerful. So I want to go back to the conversion conversations topic. So what are the initial steps that a business should take when adopting the strategy to engage with potential clients?
Organically or paid traffic or both?
Let's start with organic.
Okay, so organic's pretty straightforward. Most people don't have a lot of followers and they also don't have a lot of money to start. So especially beginners, what I have them start with obviously is like your followers, your comments, all that. But let's say you have one follower, it's your mom. You got to go cold DMs, right? Or you got to go to cold leads. So the way I did it, that was very simple for me. And I'll give you a fitness example because that's how I started, is I would go to a hashtags on IG. It was like fit mom, fit dad, fit whatever. There's like 30 million posts per day. It's like, there's plenty of lead gen. And what I would do is I go to recent posts and then I would go like this as fast as I could. So like on my phone, like I'm scrolling as fast as I can, literally like this, like fast, until I'd see someone overweight. And then I hit my finger, click on the profile, check them out. If they looked like, hey, they need help losing weight and they got some money, I'd send a DM. If they were like, hey, I'm a Beachbody coach, I'm not going to do that, right? Because they might be a little too egotistical to admit they need help. And then I just send something that was relatable. Hey, hope this isn't weird to say, but your 2 kids are so cute. I'm from a family of 7. Just had to say that. LOL. Remember, they're not getting a lot of DMs like Facebook groups because Facebook groups get slaughtered. But if there's 29 million IG posts, they're not getting DM'd every day, I promise you. So they love it. Like, oh yeah, da da da. And then what I would typically transition to, and I'll just walk you through the transition, is I would say, yeah, no problem. Absolutely. Like, what do you do for work? Do you stay at home mom? Do you work? And this is if it was a mom, if it's a guy, obviously it changes. Sure. Yeah, I work. I'm like, cool. What do you do? I do this. And then my transition would be, cool. Does it keep you busy? And then everyone on earth goes, oh yeah, of course it keeps me busy. And I say, got it. So does that make it hard to work out? And then I'm in the pitch. But it was very conversational because I just am naturally moving it to fitness, but they don't know any, like if you heard that at a bar, you wouldn't think anyone's trying to sell you. It's like, oh, cool. Like you're busy. Like, do you work out as well? Like, does that make it hard to get there? I can only imagine. Cause like I have a similar job. So they go, yeah, they're like, yeah, actually it does. I'm like, well, what's your goal? What are you struggling with? What have you tried? Have you ever worked with a coach? And then at that point I go, well, look, I don't know if you care, but I do this fitness stuff all day long. I have a few pointers, but I'd like to ask before I say anything. And they're like, yeah, of course. I'm like, cool. Well, instead of typing out 600,000 more messages, LOL, send, I could give you a call real quick. Send. Here's my number. What's yours? Send. And then more times than not, 70, 80% of the time, they give it to me. I call. I do a triage. Then I'm like, hey, I'm going to send you an email with more follow-up questions. Then we'll have another call. On the email, it's like the application, right? So you could send an application as well. It's like application. And I would have a couple questions that I cared about. The rest I didn't care. So it was like weight, height, food preferences. And then it was like, are you willing to invest in yourself if you get this goal and this result? They'd say yes. I book a call. If they said no, I'd follow up. And then I either wouldn't book a call or I would. And that was how I scaled my company at 50K a month, just grinding. Like I just would do that all day, every day. And I just grinded. And then once I built, once I realized I couldn't scale any further and I needed ads, that's when I started trying to learn paid ads.
So no automation, no website, no funnel process, nothing. Just get out there and doing it.
Bro, you just need a cell phone and social media and you're good. Like it's that, that's the craziest part. And you can start making money today. People go, well, I don't have anything yet. Neither did I. You yeah. sell it and then you build it. And especially with fitness, I started off with Excel spreadsheets. It was terrible. And then you make it nicer as you go. But people over at like, they overthink how easy it is to make money. All you're doing is you convincing someone to buy something. That's it.
Yeah. No, I was the same way. So I got started in the fitness space myself and I was in the military. And when I got out back from Iraq in 07, I owned a martial arts school, sold that, and I had nothing. So like, shoot, how am I going to make some money? I didn't have any money for a fitness facility. I didn't even know anything about the online space. It was like outdoor boot camp that I did. And so I went door to door. So you're talking about going door to door, knocking on, selling different things. I was like spending 80 hours a week for 2 weeks straight, just knocking on doors, had a clipboard, piece of paper, getting their name and phone number. And 2 weeks I got seven clients. So those five of those seven clients stayed with me for about 8 to 10 years. And wow. it was really awesome. I mean, less than 3 years, I was in four different cities and had hundreds and hundreds of clients, but it was awesome. But I say that because just like what you're saying, you don't need a whole lot. You just got to have the drive saying, I want to do it and just commit to it and make it happen. How do you go? Cause I know you're talking about, you know, the organic outreach and be able to just have a conversation with people, which I know that's where a lot of people struggle with is just having the fear of just talking to people. But how do you build that trust with that person and the stranger and transforming them to that paying client? So you start that conversation, you get on, you got the application process, but what are some key pointers, some key words, some key things that you do that actually gets them to that conversion of that sale?
Like more of the sales call portion?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, you know, I cold outreached, did the organic thing, sent them the email, got the message that now we're jumping on it. But some people, they suck at just that follow up and be like, okay, what do I do next? Like, how do I get them to that sales call and actually convert it?
Most people are horrible. Yeah. The issue is not the strategy, it's the skill. So I'd say for 90% of people, it's their lack of skill, not the strategy. But they always blame the strategy, right? But it's really their execution. So what I did for trainers was very simple. So it's very, when you're thinking about an offer, you just think, what do most people sell? So most people, trainers, they sell what? Custom training, custom nutrition, accountability, whatever. Okay. So I sat there and went, well, what do people actually want? They just want to eat shit food and not move and look amazing. That's really what everyone wants. So I said, okay, how can I sell that ethically? So I started like racking my brain. Is there a way to do it? And I came up with, okay, well, if it fits your macros is all about that, right? So if it fits your macros means as long as you eat under a caloric deficit, blah, 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 you can eat whatever you want, right? So the whole thought process for me specifically was, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of sell them what they want to give them what they need. And so on my call, I really had three pillars and it was how to eat whatever you want without sabotaging results, how to train however you want without sabotaging results. And then what I called lifestyle recalibration. Now people hear that and go, oh my gosh, you can't do that. I was like, yo, relax, calm down, like take a deep breath. It's within the parameters. So the way I would pitch it is I said, look, most people teach you how to eat chicken, broccoli, and rice or how to work out 5 to 6 days a week and do a million minutes of cardio. Now we all know you're gonna lose weight, right? Did you know that works? They're like, yeah. It's like, okay. So the question is not doing something that works, it's doing something that you can stick with. Would you agree with that? Right. Okay, on your birthday and Christmas, are you going to eat birthday cake? Or are you going to eat birthday broccoli? You're like, cake? I'm like, okay. So how can we teach you how to eat whatever you want and train the way you want without ruining results? And so what I basically sold them, I was like, I'm going to show you a framework that as long as you stay within these parameters, you can eat what you want. Now, obviously, broccoli is better for you. You'll feel better. But I'm going to allow you to have cake and ice cream, et cetera. And a lot of them, that just blew their mind. They're like, are you serious? And it's just caloric deficit. But the way I'm describing it and I'm marketing it, is way different than every other trainer. Like most trainers get on calls and just say, I'll give you a custom program. I'll give you a custom diet. How about $3,000? They're like, how about no? Right. So you have to show it in a way that they may, that it feels different. And then on the training's good for you, but you can sit on a couch and not move and not eat and you'll lose weight. Like training really is like the least important thing in terms of body composition, except muscle, right? But body fat, it's the most, it doesn't matter at all, right? It's, you're not going to lose any body fat really from weightlifting. It's going to come from intense amounts of running, or it's going to come from a diet. So long story short, I would hit on that and they would understand and they're getting what they want. They're like, oh, so I don't have to work out 6 days a week and I don't have to give up all these things. I'm like, no, you just got to stay within these parameters.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Stuck in growth and need more time to serve your client? Let J.R. Spear and his Creed Consulting team help. We offer a full done-for-you service, strategizing and building your program to scale fast. From video shoots to web design and automation, we've got you covered. Our expertise gives you more time to deliver the quality your clients deserve. Ready to build faster and serve better? Call us today at 314-221-9216 and let's kickstart your coaching program and build the quality of product your clients deserve.
And now back to the show.
And then I would kind of pitch them as, okay, the last thing is you can hire a trainer, you can hire a Beachbody program, or you can hire me. And the trainers, I would just make the bad guys, right? And I love trainers. So anyone's listening to this, you just have to understand that's your job as a sales rep. Be like, Tanner's bad, I'm good, or vice versa. Like, they're bad, Tanner's good. That's how it's supposed to be. So what I would say is, look, personal trainers only focus on training. It's illegal for them to work on your nutrition and they can only focus on training, right? So why would you pay someone a bunch of money that only focuses on 10% of your results, which is working out, right? Nutrition is the most important. They're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. I'm like, yeah. Plus, and then I would throw in some other stuff like, plus they don't want to teach you what to do because if you leave, they don't get paid. And they're like, oh my gosh, right? So I'm really just pushing them into a corner right where I want them. And then for Beachbody, I do the same thing. I'd say, look, they get the same program to everyone. So it's cheap. That's great. You're going to get crazy results in 30 days, but it's going to be too rigorous and you can't stick with it. So you fall off and then you repeat that process, right? And then you can hire me. And the benefit with me is, yes, I'm expensive, but I'm going to show you everything you need to know. So you'll never have to hire a trainer again. So do you want to pay a lot once, or do you want to pay a little for the rest of your life? And by that time, when I get to the close, it was easy. It was cake. And then, yes, there's price objections and stuff like that, that I could also teach people. But I think I was one of the first, if not the first trainer to really do that. And there's a lot of trainers who are probably better than me at training, but there are very few that are better at me at sales and marketing. And that ultimately is how you grow businesses. Like, it doesn't matter how good of a trainer you are or a consultant or whatever. It's like, yes, you need to try to have good service. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to sales and marketing on the front end. If you can't get sales on the front end, good luck. And then later down the road, as you expand and grow your companies, you realize, hey, if I get a badass product with that, that's where you can make 9 or 10 figure companies. But that's the hard part, is like, how good is the product? And a lot of times in internet marketing, it's not as good, not because you can't help people, but because not everyone can get the same result because everyone has different levels of skill. And that's something I had to sit with for a while when I started scaling my company, because it was really hard for me to watch not everyone get the same result, no matter how much we did. And that's one of the things that you have to have if you want to build a 9 or 10 figure company. Like, the least of these have to get the same results. So that's a little tangent, but FYI.
No. So how do you overcome that? Because that, I mean, for any coach, it doesn't matter if you're in the fitness or the business coach, it's like, you know that your strategy works and then it can help them. But for whatever reason, there's people that just don't get the same results. Like, how do you overcome that? Like, for me, I try to just tell myself, like, you know, I know it works, and because I've been able to help some people, and, but you know, we could beat ourselves up. It's hard.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing is just like, everything I've asked anyone to do, I've done 1,000-fold. Like, I've spent $3 million on coaches. So asking someone to spend 10 grand is like, come on, bro. Like, it's 10 grand. You'll be fine. All the messages I ask people to do, the calls, I've done everything. So I just have a ton of conviction from experience. I think number two is just understanding, when I realized, no matter how good the product is, just this, the nature of this industry, that's just how it's going to roll, right? One of the reasons Gym Launch did so well, and I've studied that model, is that they made it basically impossible for them to fail. But if you think about the model, it's a little different than online. 90% close rate in person. It's an in-person process. they basically just showed a lot of them how to run ads and raise their price. So there's a lot of nuance to it that I'm not going to like say that's not important. There is, right? I haven't owned a gym personally, so there's nuances, but you can't do that online. You can't just have any person build funnels and DM and be good at sales. Like, it takes more skill to be successful online. And that's why a lot of people can't do it. So I've always tried to make my program as good as I can, but I started realizing when I talked to these billionaires and I looked at their companies, I was like, what's the common theme? And the theme is really simple. They usually are very good at internet marketing. Almost all of them that bootstrapped had been some type of digital agency, right? Then they do a high ticket offer when they step out of this industry. And then the third is that it was easy to low fulfillment. So two examples, one guy sold Wemaps for like 1.6 billion, Justin Hartfield. It's like Yelp for Wii. There is no fulfillment. The fulfillment is the app. There's another guy who did Byte, Scott Cohen, was like 1.2 billion in like 2 years. Same thing, it's braces. All he did is he beat Invisalign at their own game. And he says that, he's like, yeah, I just basically ripped off their product. I should say ripped off, but he's like, I innovated the product and the marketing, but that's it. And he lowered the CAC by 5X and they beat him. That's the model. And so that's a lot of times where you'll see the tech guys are like, oh, tech, because tech is infinitely scalable if it's good and people won't cancel, right? So you saw Alex Becker switch, kind of saw Sam Ovens switch to school, right? That's what they're doing. Because if they can deliver the same service for everyone, it gets more enterprise value. People don't get pissed off. There's no cancellations. There's no refunds. There's no chargebacks. Like, it's just smooth sailing. So, and again, a little bit of a tangent, but I've really studied that the last 6 months when I left and I was trying to figure out my next move. And that's kind of the conclusion I came to.
No, it's really good. Well, we talked about trust. Now I want to dive into like the actual lead gen process to actually get people in your inbox, because we talked about just scrolling, using hashtags and things like that. But what are there specific posts that you recommend and in a very structured way that people can use to start getting people to raise their hands saying, hey, you know what? I'd like to know more information. Like, what do you say and what do you do to get more hands raised?
Yeah, I mean, you can do what's called a two-step. A two-step is just usually when you're putting out some type of free info and you have someone comment. So example would be, are you someone who's trying to lose weight, but you've tried 800 different programs and they haven't worked? The reason it hasn't worked is because you're not doing the polka dot method. And George, once he actually started doing the polka dot method, lost 10 pounds in 3 weeks. If you want to know what that is, comment down below polka dot and I'll send it over. Something like that. It just kind of gets them to raise their hand. But to be quite frank with you, you don't even need that. Right? Like, you don't even need that. All you have to do is have conversations with people. And it doesn't really matter how bad the convos are, how many it takes you to have. As long as you don't quit, you will make sales. Like, I tell people all the time, when you're starting a business, think of it as door-to-door sales. It is not efficient, but it will work. And when you don't have any money, that's the only option you have. A lot of people, they're always going, well, what am I, why don't I, you know, why can't I run ads? Like, because you'll fail. Because you suck. You know, you're not good yet. The whole point of organic is to get good. So when you do run ads, you can capitalize, because when you're running ads, you have to get a certain cost of acquisition or you lose. Like, I could spend as much money as I want in ads if it didn't matter what my cost of acquisition was. That's the problem. There is a cost of acquisition. There's only so much money you can spend until you have to turn the ads off. So that would be the only thing. I mean, a lot of people get way too caught up in the content game. To be frank with you, I didn't post a single piece of content in the first year I did $1 million. Not one piece of content. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I did not post on Instagram. I wish that Instagram was still up. I took it down or I deleted it for whatever reason. It was like Tanner Chister Official or something. Like, I didn't post for a year because it didn't matter. It had no indication on my results because the same people see the posts over and over again. So it's like, why? Like, it wasn't growing. So unless you're genuinely growing when you post, it's pointless. The same people see your posts over and over again. So it's like, why don't you just DM everyone instead of keep trying to like create content that takes you hours a day? That's like the thing that drives me the absolute nuts with beginners, is they think content will save them. It's like, you have 30 followers. Like, how many do you have now after 3 months? 33, right?
That's so true.
It's a waste of time.
So how do you prevent yourself from getting blocked and from messaging then? Because if you're doing a lot of cold outreach, especially on Facebook, like Facebook is my main thing. And it's not like Instagram is where you spend most of yours, but yeah, I I was blocked for 2 days just for sending a few messages out to people. It's like, why am I being blocked? It's absolutely stupid.
Yeah. So you do 20 per hour is usually the rule. It also depends on your account, right? So your account, if you've been doing it a while, it's better. Also, if people are DMing you, that's also better, right? Because like you won't get blocked. But usually the rule of thumb is 20 to 38 hour. I would say go closer to 20. So what I would do is I do 20 on Facebook and then I go to IG. And then I do 20 on Facebook and I go to IG. And I was scrolling really fast. So people are like, how do you send that many an hour? I'm like, because dude, I'm going quickly. Like I'm not playing around, I'm not playing games. You are. A lot of people are so slow. I mean, they're like, it's not about, it's a volume game. It's not a quality game. It's a volume game. And I think the reason I did so well is like, I'm really fast, I'm really efficient, and I'm really good at sales. So you mix those three things together, that's a perfect combo.
Ready to elevate your coaching business and make a profound impact? Discover your roadmap in J.R. Spear's book, The Success Guide to Building Your Coaching Empire. Immerse in wisdom earned through years of successful coaching, presenting a strategic battle plan to navigate challenges and seize opportunities. Don't just survive, but thrive in your industry. Get your copy at www.jrspear.com today. Let this guide be your companion in your journey to a powerful coaching empire. Transform your business and make a bigger impact now.
You know, business owners say, hey, I don't have enough time. I look at their schedule. I'm like, here's 6 hours of time back. That just wasting time all over the place for stuff that's irrelevant to getting results. And I think a lot of people forget that. So, yeah, to answer your question, 20 an hour, sorry.
No, that's really good. Now, do you copy and paste a lot of the same messaging, or because you mentioned before that you go in and you find something that's relevant to them to be able to like saying, hey, you know, I saw this post about you having a bunch of children. I'm one of seven, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
So how does that initial post work?
You can save auto replies in IG specifically. I think you can on Facebook too, but you really want to make it different and unique, because even one of the things people teach you about cold emails is that you want the first line to be unique to the person. So a lot of times when you send cold emails, for example, people will only change the first line, nothing else. It's only the first line, because that's the first thing people read. And if you can make it very specific to them, it's better. So it's like, hey, John, saw you were at the park with your kids playing tennis. Love that. Or something, you know, like something that's like, you'd have to have shown that you looked. And a lot of times on IG, it's easy because when you click on their profile, you quickly scan it. And I always will say stuff about cars or kids. That's usually my go-to, because almost everyone will have a picture of their kids or car. And they love compliments about that. So you would have some that would get somewhat repetitive, but you never want to copy and paste. Because if you do, Instagram and Facebook have algorithms that will see that you're basically just pasting some message and they're going to block you as spam. The more you switch it up and the more realistic it looks. So like if you're sending a message every 2 minutes, that looks human-like. If you're freaking sending it every 30 seconds, copy paste, you're going to get blocked. So there's a lot of stuff I've learned the hard way. I think at one time we got blocked for like 30 days. No. You know, we've had that stuff happen, but you just learn from it. And so 20 an hour is average. And then as your business scales, you do less. So people are like, Tanner, how much cold DMs do you know? I'm like, we do like zero. But I got to 1.7 million a month, close to 2 million a month at our peak. That's why. I mean, you don't need to do it anymore. But for most people, they need to do that to start. And then the goal is like, and to think, it's not going to be forever, right? It's a short-term sacrifice. Like short-term sacrifice to get the skill, to get the money, and then you dump it into ads. But a lot of businesses, they just promise too much stuff. They're like, you don't have to do any messaging. You don't have to cold DM anyone. You can just post content and people will come to you. It's like, I even remember people would say, yeah, just post content. And then they'll be like, someone would comment, they'll go, do I have permission to message you? I'm like, dude, you could have just messaged them before you asked. Like that to me does not mean it's not a cold DM. Like that is a cold DM. Like,
yeah,
that's the same thing. So at the end of the day, like the rub with the industry is that at the end of the day, like you have to have conversations and you have to get on sales calls, and that's how you scale. And you can do whatever strategy or theory you want around that. But 90% of the business owners, they can't even do that. And then they're all worried about scaling and ads and building a team. It's like, you're not even at 20K a month. Like, let's get some consistency in the business. So take that for what it's worth, but that's my 2 cents. And that's what I did for a year. I mean, I just pounded that process until I was perfect at it.
That's really good. And I know you already hit on a lot of the challenges that people are doing, like not even want to do the work and things like that. But what do you find some of the biggest challenges that people are having to overcome that you're having to solve as they come to you?
I think, I mean, it's really sales and how they spend their time. Now, if it's a higher level person, it's different. You know, like we have a couple high level clients who, you know, they think they need HubSpot and they do 20K a month. I'm like, dude, like maybe 2 million a month, you could use HubSpot. Like you don't need HubSpot, right? HubSpot's very complex and like big for big enterprise companies, et cetera. So I'd say beginners is sales. Like they're just terrible at messaging, terrible at conversations, terrible at follow-up. It's like the guy who thinks he can get girls, but he can't, right? It's that guy. That's most beginners. More experienced individuals, they're just terrible at marketing. They don't know their numbers. They don't know ads. They don't know how to hire a team. They don't know how to train. I'd say the biggest issue is I'd say most entrepreneurs I know, they never get past 100K a month because they don't know how to scale a team. They're a great solopreneur. So they can run a team of three people, but they can't scale because they can't actually manage. They don't know how to find talent, retain talent. You know, I get reminded, I hired this guy the other day. He came in and he's working for us now. He built 3 7-figure companies and he's our CSD now. And it's just, it's what you would expect, right? He's doing what you would expect someone who's built 3 7-figure companies to do versus the guy before hadn't done it, right? And it's like, we convince ourselves that we can get around it and this person will be just good enough and stuff like that. And we know deep down, that's not true. So it just goes back to, you can't get around the work.
Yeah.
If you want a great company, you got to do the work. You want good people, got to pay them a lot of money. You know, you want a good sales team, you got to manage them. You can't just bring guys in and just hope they figure it out. There's just a lot of stuff that I constantly get reminded of what it takes to be successful in life and stay at the top. It's one thing to get to the top, but like I've been in business 6 years now and it's tough, bro. It's tough to like stay at the top every single year, year after year and run a team. Like it's like a never ending treadmill or something. So there's things you could do to make it easier, like easier offers, better offers, et cetera. But anyways, that's my 2 cents.
No, that's really good. I mean, all of it's really powerful. Why don't you share some case studies, some client success stories that's been able to implement some of your strategies?
Oh, dude.
I know you got a lot.
Where to start? I mean, like I could pull some up that like top, I'll just give you the ones that are like the freshest. The two recently that I worked with. So one was the 18-year-old kid. He's going to be a stud. He had a agency that helped apps get 10,000 downloads. And now he's doing like a done with you course. And he went 0 to 50K in 30 days, you know, like very quickly, super smart kid. I think, you know, the biggest thing too is, again, like he has some of those skills. Right. Like he has some of those skills and he has a really good offer. Right. He has a really good offer. It's very unique. I think the more unique the offer, the better it is. You know, Hormozi talks about that in his book. And that's what I realized as well, is when we got to 2 million a month, part of the reason it's hard to scale an internet marketing company past, I would say, about 30 million a year is kind of the tipping point for most. It's just cost of acquisition. You're getting all these different levels of skill coming in. It's just hard to maintain those same results across the board. So that was one guy, but he's a stud, you know, so I always try to give credit to the clients. There's another woman named Heather. She's amazing. She's doing 25K a week. And then I just shifted her schedule and all of a sudden she did that. I just think there's a million more. I mean, you could go look at Trustpilot and all those types of things like EliteSalesReviews.com. But to be frank, like the biggest thing most people miss is like they always think it's something special and it's very simple. You know, like they come in and they think, oh, well, I paid all this money, I should get all these different fancy whistles and bells. It's like, you paid us to double your revenue, right? So here's what you're doing. I need you to do more of this. I need you to stop doing all this crap. You don't need all these bots and AIs and chats and GitHub and all the, I mean, it's just crazy. All these stuff people come in with. And then what they do is they don't get results because they don't do it. And then they'll bounce to the next coach and the next coach and the next coach, hoping that the next thing will be the thing that will make them successful. And I'll be honest, every business I've started and every portfolio company, all I focus on pretty much is a couple numbers: retention, how many leads we're getting, what's our closing percentage, cost of acquisition. There's very few things I'm focused on. And then I just try to consistently increase or decrease those numbers. That's it. A lot of people are just really focused on stuff that doesn't move the lever. Sorry again, I got a little off tangent again. I apologize, but
all great stuff.
Those would be the two closest.
No, it's all really really good things. And I'm glad that you mentioned like the effectiveness of measuring, you know, your stats and what you're doing, because you know, to be really transparent, I get away from that sometimes, like, oh crap, I need to track these numbers. How many calls am I doing? And what's my closing rate and all these different things. And I, when I feel like I'm doing well and then things start going low, I can't really have an answer for it. So, hit on that. Like, how important is it to actually track, you know, all these different stats and data? And you mentioned retention, sales, your closing ratio. What are some other stats that are important to track?
I think the biggest one's like cost of acquisition on the sales side. I think it's also closing percent. Like, cost of acquisition is great because if it's too high, it's either a sales issue or a marketing issue. And when I came back after 6 months, that was the first thing I looked at. And I was like, it's a sales issue for sure. Cause I started listening to the call. I'm like, no, it's a sales team issue for sure. It's not a marketing issue. So that was good. You want to look at attrition. So like how many clients you're losing in a month compared to the total. So if you have 300 clients, how many clients are leaving every month? Attrition. LTV is great. If you can track it accurately, it can be hard at times, especially with high ticket, because it's not running through like all the way through a funnel and like kind of subscription based model, but LTV is like super important. What else? Those would be like the big three off the top of my head. Since I got back, I've been working really hard with the sales team. So I apologize. Like, all I've been doing for the last like 60 days is sales, like all day I'm on sales calls with the guys and like helping them and like training them to get stuff turned around. And we did pretty fast. We doubled sales in about 30 days. But yeah, I would say those are the big ones I'm looking at. And if you can get those in check, there's probably a couple others, but if you get those three in check, you're pretty good to go. I mean, those are how you get your clients and how many clients you're leaving. I mean, if you can just make sure those two numbers are in check, you're in pretty good shape.
Love that. Well, last question I want to ask you is, where do you see the future of organic messaging and, you know, conversations-based client acquisitions heading in the next few years? Like the trends and what's happening?
Yeah, sorry, man. I am eager beaver today. I apologize. I think the AI stuff's coming, but the issue I'm seeing with a lot of the AI stuff is that the clients are having to do too much work. So I had a client, I do some one-to-ones for YouTube. It's like really good content and I like it. You know, it's like, I don't have to like try to make stuff up. I just can like help build the business. But they showed me an AI chatbot they were using and it took them 3 months to get it to work. And in my opinion, the issue is that the clients have to get it to train it too much. So the companies who are selling these services are just kind of like selling it to everyone. And every time I've seen that happen, it doesn't work as well. In fact, my company Elite CEOs, I always wonder if I just kept it fitness CEOs where we only help trainers, because it's easier to scale typically in fulfillment because it's the same thing every time, right? Literally the same thing. But long story short, what I'm getting at is I think there will be people who can build really good like chatbots for specific industries, or maybe even like eventually down the line sales calls. But it's going to have to be very specific. And the people who try to go general and broad are going to fail. The people who go niche are going to win. And the reason for that is, if you think about it, if I only helped gardeners and I made like a chatbot that only did like lead gen for gardeners, that's way easier to scale, in my personal opinion, than it is to every single person who wants a chatbot, for example. So I think eventually there will be a lot of AI. I don't know how much on calls. There might be like regulation that comes in possibly. I could see that on calls, but I know DMs for sure. No one's going to know the difference. I really think it could get to the point where you have a full blown convo and you don't know if it's a human or not. I don't know how far away it is, but I definitely think it could get there. And I think the people who will win will build it for niches, because when you try to please everyone, it just doesn't work. And there's just too much complexity. And I'm just, that's just my two cents from like my little experience in the tech industry, is like, it's the more complex you're making something, it makes it much more difficult. And the way tech works is every time you change something, you have to change everything. So it's almost like if you put, I don't know, a piece of carpet down and then you want to change this piece over here, you got to pull the whole carpet up before you lay more carpet down. You can't just cut it out. Yeah. So I think that's where it's headed though. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it is heading that direction, I think.
Really cool, man. Well, you definitely gave a lot of amazing content and things to be able to help every listener on here. And I want to be able to give you the opportunity to have people connect with you. So is there a best way that you want people to connect with you? Maybe shoot you an Instagram post or DM, or do you have a giveaway that you want to give the audience? What do you want to give?
Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, the best place would just be DM me on Instagram, Tanner.Chittister. Could have a conversation there. Maybe let me know that they came from the podcast, right? And then I'll just step in and try to help. And then if there's anything they're looking for free, I mean, I always have some link on my website or my socials that's free. So that's where they could start, and that'd be the best place.
Sweet, man. Well, I want to encourage all the listeners as well to, you know, start following you on all the platforms, because, you know, I think I follow you on Facebook mainly, and you definitely give a lot of testimonials and stories, and I just love engaging with it. I mean, it's stuff that inspires me and keeps me on my toes to keep going. So for everyone out there, just go follow him on Facebook, follow him on Instagram, shoot him a DM, and you'll definitely be blessed and changed that you have. He's got amazing products that you can, you know, you can tap into that can change your business, everything from organic to paid ads or whatever it may be. And he's very authentic. And I truly believe that you lead with a servant's heart, which is ultimately what our mission is. And I just love seeing you show up and really care about wanting to make a difference for people. So thank you for being here today and, you know, delivering and offering your talent and skills. And for all of you other listeners out there, Semper Fi.
Thank you for listening to the Daily Creed Podcast Show with J.R. Spear. If you want to get more leads and grow your business, head over to fitprofunnels.com to get your free gift today. That's fitprofunnels.com. And to connect with JR online, check him out on Facebook at jr.spear.3. Or feel free to join the Facebook group at FitProFunnels. And you can also find him on Instagram at jr.spear.